Good morning. I'm Stephen Bloom, and on behalf of my co-authors, Tim Jude and High Murder, I'd like to thank the APHA for the opportunity to present our research here today. By means of financial disclosures, I'm currently an employee of Forest Research Institute, which is the scientific subsidiary of Forest Laboratories, which is a pharmaceutical company. I am a stockholder, an option holder of Forest Laboratories stock. My wife is also an employee of Forest Research Institute and is also a stockholder and option holder in Forest. Fibromyalgia is a chronic disorder that's characterized by widespread pain and fatigue. Fibromyalgia is also often referred to as fibromyalgia syndrome. People use FM and FMS interchangeably. It's associated with a cluster of multiple symptoms, also including cognitive impairment, which is sometimes referred to as fibrofog, sleep and mood disturbances, and impaired physical function. The prevalence of these different symptoms, their severity and their impact, often varies by the patient. Fibromyalgia is fairly widespread, affecting 2 to 4% of the population. Typically, it's seen more frequently in middle-aged women, but has also been seen in men, adolescents, and elderly patients. Fibromyalgia is often a disease of differential diagnosis, often assessed using the American College of Rheumatology diagnostic criteria, which looks for widespread pain throughout the body in all four quadrants, as well as tender points. There actually has been some recent discussion at the recent ACR meeting about potentially doing away with the tender point diagnosis. There's some feeling that male patients in particular are less sensitive to tender points, so there is the potential that changing the diagnostic criteria may lead to more diagnosis for male patients with fibromyalgia. Until recently, not a lot of physicians were diagnosing fibromyalgia, and oftentimes it may take multiple years for patients to cycle through multiple physicians before they're ultimately diagnosed and treated for their fibromyalgia. Previously, physicians often tried to manage individual symptoms associated with the disease prior to 2007, there hadn't been any pharmaceutical treatments approved for fibromyalgia. Since then, there are three products that have been approved. Lyrica was approved in 2007, followed by Cymbalta, and then recently Savella. So with the new treatment options and increased awareness of fibromyalgia, there's an increased interest in understanding some of the economic impact associated with fibromyalgia. So our research represents the patient perspective in terms of their out-of-pocket costs. In assessing their annual out-of-pocket costs, we compared the economic burden experienced by fibromyalgia patients with those of patients from two other disease states, depression and chronic fatigue syndrome. We chose the diseases for a couple of different reasons. First, depression is prevalent and expensive disease that's been studied fairly extensively. And is reimbursed by insurers. However, that wasn't the case 15 years ago. Chronic fatigue, on the other hand, does not have any currently approved treatments and does not have the same type of reimbursement coverage. So fibro kind of is in the middle of where depression and chronic fatigue are today. In addition, they're both chronic conditions. Patients experience similar overlapping symptoms associated with them. So we also wanted to assess the comorbid depression and chronic fatigue. In terms of our methods, we conducted a retrospective analysis of medical and prescription drug claims using Thompson Market Scan, the commercial claims database, and this was the 2006 database, which at the time was the most recent complete full year of data that was available when we conducted our research. Thompson Market Scan is a nationally geographic diverse database which includes HMO, PPO, point of service, and other employer-sponsored plans for employees and their dependents. Oops. We used a prevalence-based approach to identify the patients and calculate their mean annual costs based on reimbursed claims for both their medical and prescription drugs. So patients in the study were selected into three disease groups: patients diagnosed with fibromyalgia, patients diagnosed with depression, and I should note that depression is both major depressive disorder and other depressive disorders, and chronic fatigue syndrome. The disease groups were not mutually exclusive. Doing so would have eliminated some of the complexity associated with the condition. So our intent was to characterize the burden on the patient, not necessarily to assess the burden of the condition itself. However, because we did not have mutual exclusive groups, we didn't conduct any significance testing to assess differences in the patient characteristics between the different groups. Our inclusion criteria was at least 18 years of age in the beginning of 2006, with continuous eligibility and prescription drug coverage during the study period. Patients had to have at least one inpatient or two outpatient claims based on their ICD-9 code. As you can see, fibromyalgia uses the ICD-9 code 729.1, which is commonly used for fibromyalgia, but is technically myalgia myositis. Depression, as I mentioned, include both major depressive disorder and other depressive disorder, and chronic fatigue was based on its ICD-9 code. In terms of costs, we calculated the annual mean annual cost for all medical and prescription drugs. We've broken them down into inpatient, outpatient, and prescription drugs. In addition to the descriptive results, we also calculated incremental cost estimates for depression and chronic fatigue relative to patients relative to fibromyalgia patients using generalized linear models using family and link function based on diagnostic testing. Estimates were adjusted for patient age, gender, beneficiary status, employment status, insurance type, co-presence of other diseases, as well as 84 other medical comorbidities using HCC codes. So now for some of our results. Here are the patient characteristics. As you can see, there are significantly more depression patients than fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue patients, which is not surprising. For all three disease groups, approximately 70% of the patients were all female. Fibromyalgia patients tended to be a little bit older and less likely to be employed. Both fibromyalgia and depression patients had a higher number of comorbidities than chronic fatigue patients. In terms of co-presence of the disease states, approximately 10% of both fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue patients also had comorbid depression. 4% of depression and 7% of chronic fatigue patients had comorbid fibromyalgia, and only 1% of the fibromyalgia patients had claims for chronic fatigue. So while fatigue is certainly a central syndrome of fibromyalgia, it's obviously being associated with the fibromyalgia and not being assessed specifically as chronic fatigue. In terms of our unadjusted costs, and remember this is the patient out-of-pocket cost in different analysis. We did look at the third-party costs, and that was presented earlier this year at ISPOR. The mean annual total out-of-pocket costs were actually greater for fibromyalgia patients. Outpatient cost was the highest cost category for each of the three disease states, followed by prescription drug costs and inpatient costs. And here you can see a distribution of those costs. So the only real noticeable difference you can see on the bottom for depression, the greater proportion of inpatient costs. In terms of the incremental costs, and again, we compared depression to fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue to fibromyalgia. These are our adjusted costs after adjusting costs for depression patients were actually 3.8% higher for depression than fibromyalgia patients. And this is largely driven by the higher inpatient and prescription drug costs. And after adjustment, chronic fatigue patients remained lower than that of fibromyalgia patients. And again, this was driven by lower outpatient and prescription drug costs, all of which are significant. One thing that's interesting to note was that this was conducted based on 2006 data. So since that time, there's been certainly some changes in the depression market. Zoloft did go lose its exclusivity in 2006, but you did not see a lot of price erosion because you didn't have multi-source generics come onto the market until early 2007. And since that time, you have three branded products that are now approved for fibromyalgia, so it's likely that they're going in opposite directions. So it would be interesting to redo this analysis now with more current data to see whether or not depression is still slightly more expensive than fibromyalgia. In terms of limitations of our data, obviously we're using claims data and clinical data are limited. Some of the diagnoses may not be accurate. In particular, the co-presence of the three different disease states may reflect misdiagnosis, delay in the diagnosis of individual symptoms. We did try to control for misdiagnosis by requiring the two outpatient or one inpatient claims. And then finally, with the ICD-9 code for fibromyalgia, 729.1, it's not necessarily specific to fibromyalgia, and fibromyalgia patients may be coded under other codes as well. So in conclusion, fibromyalgia patients incur high total out-of-pocket costs, similar to that of patients with chronic fatigue and depressive disorders. Early diagnosis and effective treatment for fibromyalgia may help reduce the economic burden on patients, and further research is needed to understand whether or not the high out-of-pocket expenditures affect whether or not patients are able to obtain necessary treatment. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for a couple questions.
Oh, in terms of all cause, no. We just, for patients that met the selection criteria, it was all cause, so all medical resource utilization. Yes?
Do you have any way to know and or control for the
Right. We did control for insurance type as well as beneficiary status as one of the many different factors. Yes.
Since this is before the medications licensed for this disease, do you know what price those medications go at? Just offhand.
Sure.
Guess the other question.
Right. In terms of Lyrica and Cymbalta, even though Lyrica was approved in 2007, Cymbalta in 2008, they both were commercially available at the time. So it's likely that they were being used here, as well as other products that were being used off-label. Savella was not commercially available until April of this year, so that obviously wouldn't be reflected in here. In terms of the cost, obviously that varies by an insurance plan. Typically, Cymbalta has relatively decent coverage in Tier 2. Lyrica is a little bit more restricted. They have a lot of Tier 3 coverage. Savella is going through its initial review now. But they're actually interesting, a lot of commercial payers, which I haven't seen in many other classes, require a step edit through non-approved treatments to get an approved treatment. So that's an interesting twist. So thank you.
Thank you.